You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NFL. Coming up on this edition of the program, we'll preview week four of the 2023 NFL regular season. Plus, we give game picks for week four's most important games and so much more. So it's going to be a fun show, fantastic show. Also got some stuff about Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, we have it. Talked about him in a minute, so definitely it's going to be an interesting show, going to be a jam-packed show, as always. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to the program. All right, before we get to week four and everything that's happening with week four in the NFL, let's get you caught up on week three's most important games in the NFL. Thursday night football was between the New York Giants and the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers were going to beat the Giants 30-12. Close game in Lambeau Field between the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. Packers would go on to win 18-17. The Denver Broncos and the Miami Dolphins. Never close. Miami put on an offensive clinic. The Dolphins would go on to beat the Broncos' final score 70-20. The Buffalo Bills took on the Washington Commanders. It was all Buffalo. Bills would win 37-3. The Chicago Bears took on the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs fans were excited not only because Kansas City got the win, but a famous pop superstar, Taylor Swift, was there as well. Travis Kelce scored a touchdown. Kansas City would go on to beat Chicago 41-10. Sunday Night Football saw the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. Close game in Las Vegas. Pittsburgh would go on to win 23-18. Monday Night Football doubleheader. First game of the doubleheader was the Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eagles would go on to win 25-11. And then the second game of the doubleheader was between the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. Close game, but in the end, the Bengals would hold on to win. Final score, 19-16. And those were your scores, a recap from the most important games from week three in the National Football League. All right, now it's time for my top three storylines. I want to start off talking about the Miami Dolphins. Wow, what a season it has been for the Dolphins. Now I know it's early in the year. We've only played 3 weeks into this 2023 NFL regular season, but the Dolphins have played well on the defensive side, and they have played extremely well on the offensive side. And speaking of offense, they put up 70 points in the victory over the Denver Broncos last week. The Dolphins made history becoming the first team in NFL history to score 70 points in a game since 1966. The Dolphins became the first NFL team to score 70 points in a game since 1966. This was also the second most points scored in a regular season game and tied for the third most points scored in any NFL game, including the playoffs. So the NFL record for the most points scored in the game is 73, set by the Chicago Bears in the 1940 NFL championship game, and the regular season record is 72 points by the Washington football team in 1966. All right, so listen, defensively, Miami is solid. Offensively, I mean, they are scoring points at will so far this year. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, he's been protected. So far, so good. No issues with him. Running backs, listen, the running game has been effective with Raheem Mostert, also Salvon Ahmed, and Devin Achane, and the wide receivers. Listen, Jalen Waddle, he's expected to return from injury. And then Tyreek Hill. Listen, Tyreek, the potential is there for him to possibly have a 2,000-yard receiving season. The potential is definitely there. And let's give kudos to Mike McDaniel. Only in his second year as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he's got this team rocking and rolling. And on the defensive side, the defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, he's been around for a long time. He's a tried and true veteran, and he's coached up some defenses, and right now he's got a great one in Miami with the like with talent like Raquan Davis, also with the likes of a David Long Jr., Bradley Chubb, also Andrew Van Ginkel, also you have a Justin Bethel, also Xavier Howard, one of the best in the league, Kelvin Joseph, also Eli Apple's made some solid plays so far this year. So the Miami Dolphins, getting it done on both sides of the ball. But, man, they put on an offensive clinic, just embarrassing Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, and the Denver Broncos, putting up 70 points in the victory in week three over the Denver Broncos, again, becoming the first NFL team to score 70 points in a game since 1966. And also, this victory, again, was the second most points scored in a regular season game and tied for the third most points scored in any NFL game, including the playoffs. So the NFL record, again, for the most points scored in the game is 73, set by the Chicago Bears in the 1940 NFL championship game, and the regular season record is 72 points by the Washington football team in 1966. But, man, they got something cooking down in Miami right now, and with that talent that they have, hey, man, sky's the limit. Sky is indeed the limit for the Miami Dolphins. My next storyline is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. So we talk about Miami rocking and rolling right now. The San Francisco 49ers, huh, listen, they're rocking and rolling as well on the West Coast. Brock Purdy, hey, so far so good. There's no sophomore slump for him. Running backs Christian McCaffrey could possibly be the best running back in the NFL. Also, you had a nice number two back with Elijah Mitchell. Wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, also Ronnie Bell. Those guys are solid as well. At the tight end position, man, George Kittle, what can you say? One of the most fun-loving guys in the league, one of the most dynamic personalities in the league, and a guy who's definitely tough as nails and certainly can catch, block, can do it all. And how could you forget about Deebo Samuel, right? Deebo plays wide receiver, but you can put him at running back. He'll get you yards running or receiving. It doesn't matter. Defensively, the 49ers, they bring the heat with the likes of Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. Also, you have Talanoa Hufanga. Also, Diamador Lenore, just to name a few. Javon Hargrave, Javon Kinlaw. And how could you forget about Arik Armstead and, of course, Nick Bosa, who became the big money man during the offseason? Kyle Shanahan, listen, continuing to do amazing things with this team. Kyle Shanahan doing great things with Brock Purdy so far. Listen, Brock, whenever his time is going to come, you know he's going to get a contract extension and definitely deserving of it. Will he get the same amount of money as Nick Bosa? Possibly. Could be close to it. But nevertheless, Kyle Shanahan has done an amazing job since he's been the head coach of the 49ers. And also, too, give kudos to the front office, John Lynch. Listen, John Lynch has done a good job with making sure these guys stay steady, keeping the nucleus together, keeping the guys that have been with this squad for a while, this organization and the personnel, everything that they have, trying to keep this thing together. Kudos to General Manager John Lynch. So the 49ers picking up right where they left off last year. Listen, I said skies were the limit for the Miami Dolphins. Well, the skies definitely the limit for the San Francisco 49ers. Could we have a Miami-San Francisco Super Bowl? Listen, we had it back in the 80s with Montana and Marino, but different decades, the league was different. If everything holds up well, it's very early, but we could have it, but it's early, and there's still a lot of football left to be played. Remember, the NFL season is a marathon, not a sprint, but right now, Miami's clicking on all cylinders, and San Francisco is clicking on all cylinders right now. And for my last storyline is going to be the Dallas Cowboys. So Dallas, coming into week three, they started the year off 2-0. Ran into a major, major problem. Trayvon Diggs, Pro Bowl, All-Pro cornerback, out for the year, tearing his ACL in practice. How would this affect Dallas going into the game against the Arizona Cardinals? Defensively, it affected them tremendously because Joshua Dobbs and the Arizona Cardinals offense, they came in and they put up yards. They did what was necessary, and they were able to beat the Cowboys. Final score was 28 to 16. The Cardinals will beat the Cowboys 28-16. And I don't know what's going on the offensive side. Dak Prescott, listen, the Cowboys offense had an opportunity to get points on the board just before the two-minute warning. They had a goal line situation. Dak throws the ball in double coverage, and a Cardinals player winds up intercepting it. Just not good at all. It just seemed at times he's holding the ball too long. It just seems that he's not making his decisions, you know, quick and quick, fast, in a hurry. Running game's been okay. Tony Pollard. Listen, Tony Pollard, we're waiting on him to have that big game. Well, Tony Pollard had over 100 yards rushing against Arizona, but can they get more out of him? Sure, they can get more out of him. I think if Pollard had over 100 yards rushing against Arizona, if they can continue to get him at least close to 100 yards, that can open up the passing game even more for Dallas. Because it seems, again, as I stated before, I know they've had issues on the offensive line. Tyron Smith's been hurt, but Dak is athletic. Dak can take off and run. It just seems, I don't know, it just seems a little flustered at times, holding on the ball too long. I don't know what's going on with Dallas, but I know one thing. They've got to get it fixed in a hurry because Trayvon Diggs is no longer with the team due to injury, out for the year. So they've got to clean it up. They've got to get it together. And if they don't get it together, listen, they've got a big game coming up in week 5 against the San Francisco 49ers. And it's going to be interesting. Let me just say it like that. It's going to be interesting. They've got to clean it up in the game against the New England Patriots coming up for week 4. But Dallas, listen, that was a tough blow to lose Trayvon Diggs out for the year with a torn ACL. And, you know, it's going to fall on the offense now. They're really going to have to be more emphasis and more of a focus on the offensive side of the ball. And Dak, Tony's going to get his, but they got to get it done from Dak. They got to get CeeDee Lamb involved in this as well. Michael Gallup, Jake Ferguson, their tight end. They got to get it done. They're going to have to get it done now because Dallas's identity within the first 2 weeks of the season was defense. Now it's going to continue to be defense, but they're going to need more out of the offensive side of the ball. So we'll wait and see what happens with the continuing soap opera known as the Dallas Cowboys. All right, before we go to break, just some news and notes I'd like to pass along to you. Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams is out for the season after tearing his ACL in the game against the Minnesota Vikings. If you know about Mike Williams, one of the most solid wide receivers in the NFL, been with the Chargers since he was drafted in 2017. Again, Mike Williams, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers, done for the season after tearing his ACL in the game against the Minnesota Vikings. That's a tough blow for the Chargers and specifically for that offense. New Orleans Saints quarterback Derek Carr suffered a sprained shoulder. Actually, he suffered an injury to his throwing shoulder, and the official diagnosis was that it was a sprained AC joint. So Carr's status is week to week. Looks like we could see Jameis Winston getting the start against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, but Carr suffered the injury in last week's game against the Green Bay Packers. So again, Derek Carr, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, he's listed as week to week due to an injury to a sprain. An injury due to his throwing shoulder, his right shoulder to be exact, and the official cause of the injury is a sprained AC joint, so he's considered week to week. Quarterbacks for a moment, Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders, he's going to be questionable for the game as the Raiders are going to be going up. The Raiders have a big game coming up against the Los Angeles Chargers. Garoppolo suffered a concussion in the Sunday night football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Matter of fact, Garoppolo got hurt in the third quarter, and his status was he did not return. So Jimmy Garoppolo is in the concussion protocol. He's questionable for the game against the Los Angeles Chargers, and that's a tough break right there because a lot of people are saying, including myself, if Jimmy G wants to be successful with the Raiders, the offensive line has got to protect them. And that offensive line ran into a world of trouble against that defensive line of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as a result of that, Garoppolo suffered a concussion in the third quarter of that Sunday night game. Did not return and still listed in the concussion protocol and questionable for the game against the Los Angeles Chargers. So we go from the West Coast to the East Coast and the New York Jets. The offseason was a storyline with Aaron Rodgers coming over from Green Bay. Monday Night Football, week 1, tears his Achilles, done for the year. Zach Wilson comes in. Listen, Zach's been under the microscope since he's been in New York. There's been questions about him in terms of leadership and players not respecting him. And certainly somebody that didn't respect him this week was New York Jets great and Hall of Famer Joe Namath. Namath put Wilson on blast and said that he's not good and he needs to be traded and the offense is not moving in the right direction. And it's been split. The jury is still out on quarterback Zach Wilson. A lot of the Jets organization are split on Zach. Aaron Rodgers sent a message to Joe Namath about, tells the Jets offense they need to grow up a little bit. And he had some choice words for Joe Namath. Also, too, New York Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson had some choice words for Joe Namath. He said he was hoping to make Joe eat his words over what he said about Zach Wilson. And Coach Robert Saleh, you know, Coach Saleh has been the biggest supporter of Zach Wilson since the Jets drafted him. So, you know, Coach Saleh is still going to continue to sing the praises and support Zach Wilson. The defense, they've been split on this. Some people on the defensive side are like, Zach not getting the job done, he's got to go. Some defenders are defending him and are supporting him. Well, the New York Jets made a move this week with the controversy happening with Joe Namath being critical of Zach, and the Jets signed quarterback Trevor Siemian. So this could be interesting right here because you have to remember the trade deadline is in late October. It's October the 31st to be exact. And there's rumors going around that Kirk Cousins may become the quarterback for the New York Jets before Thanksgiving. That's just a rumor. Nothing is etched in stone yet. However, what we do know for sure is that the Jets made a move at the quarterback position and they signed Trevor Siemian this week. Also, some news to pass along about Colin Kaepernick. Listen, if you know about Colin, you know that he played six seasons for the San Francisco 49ers, and then the whole situation happened about with him kneeling during the national anthem in protests of police brutality and racial discrimination. Well, one of his best friends, popular rapper J. Cole, had released, with Colin's permission, he released a letter on his Twitter page and his social media platforms stating of Kaepernick's interest in returning to the NFL. Kaepernick had wrote a letter to the New York Jets general manager Joe Douglas asking if he could lead the practice squad, and he wanted to be given a chance. He says that he wants to have the opportunity to play again in the NFL, and you know, the letter, maybe the letter's two pages, but I'm just paraphrasing and just going on to what the letter talked about, basically just saying that Kaepernick had desires of asking the Jets to sign him so he could be a part of the practice squad and things of that nature. Bottom line is this. Listen, this is not a political show. We don't discuss politics at length on this program or any of the programs right here on this platform. But I will say this, though. When Colin first spoke out against police brutality, I was for it all of the way. However, I'm kind of confused about the situation because it seems as though he's made attacks against the NFL, making comparisons to very heated incidents in American society and American history. And now all of a sudden with this letter that was released by one of his friends, J. Cole, and for social media to see, well, for people that are on social media to read this letter and he's asking the New York Jets for an opportunity to be signed so he can lead the practice squad. Well, my thing is this. If you felt this way about an organization that did not show you this respect, why don't you go somewhere where you'll feel respected? Now, I know his desires was that he had no interest in playing for the USFL or playing in the XFL or playing for the Canadian Football League. He wanted to play in the NFL. So if he didn't want to play for those specific leagues that I named, maybe he could have taken the Ice Cube route and maybe start his own NFL, or maybe could have gotten some maybe some investors or somebody where they could challenge the NFL and he could play in his own league, maybe do something like that. But it's just very strange that he's almost begging for a job with the same establishment that didn't want him anymore. Now he wants to come back, and it just, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. But again, this is an interesting developing story. But again, one of Colin Kaepernick's best friends, J. Cole, shared a letter on social media about the letter, shared the letter on social media in regards to one of his buddies, Colin Kaepernick, asking the New York Jets to sign him to their practice squad. And I know Colin, I guess in terms of financial matters, he has the contract with Netflix, also with Nike, and some other endorsement deals that he has as well. I believe there's a publishing deal that he signed as well, that he's expected to get some money out of that as well. So I don't know. This is a developing story right here, but we'll pay attention to that in terms of Colin Kaepernick and attempting to return to the National Football League. And speaking of, we transition over to entertainment and with the National Football League. Yeah, no pun intended, but yeah, that's right. This year's Super Bowl 58 halftime show will be Usher. That's right. Usher will headline this year's Super Bowl 58 halftime show in Las Vegas. Now, anybody that knows me well knows that Usher is one of my favorite singers, favorite entertainers of all time. Usher has a catalog that is just lengthy, and he just continues to add to the legacy of his great body of work. You know, Usher has been doing the residency in Las Vegas for quite some time right now. It's been a sellout. It's been record numbers, and people have just been showing up and showing out for Usher's concerts and at the residency in Las Vegas. And it was announced this past week that he will headline the Super Bowl 58 halftime show at this year's Super Bowl in Las Vegas. And definitely congratulations to Usher, certainly one of the great artists, one of the great singer-songwriters of our generation, and that halftime show is going to be rocking, no doubt. And again, congratulations to Usher for headline, for being named this year's performer for the Super Bowl 58 halftime show in Las Vegas. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll give you a preview of Week 4's most important games in the NFL, and also I'll give you my game of the week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
We don't have to tell you that you've got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to look forward to. It's hard to imagine how much you could lose if you lost just one thing, your sight. Before you notice, you may be in very serious trouble, because once you lose your vision to glaucoma, it's gone forever. Groups at high risk for glaucoma include African Americans and Hispanics over the age of 40, those with a family history of glaucoma, people with diabetes, and anyone over age 50. The only way to detect glaucoma before your sight starts disappearing is with a dilated eye exam. A dilated eye exam is a simple, painless test that can detect early signs of glaucoma and other eye diseases. Call your eye doctor today to schedule a dilated eye exam. After all, you have a lot to look forward to. Get a dilated eye exam before glaucoma gets you. Get the facts. Visit preventblindness.org/glaucoma.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time to give you, let's preview week four's most important games in the National Football League. We've got some great ones, and certainly you won't be disappointed as we get you through this preview of week four's most important games in the NFL. Thursday night football, we have the Detroit Lions going up against the Green Bay Packers. If you know about this game, specifically at Lambeau Field, last year in the final game of the regular season, you know, this was Aaron Rodgers' swan song at Lambeau Field as a Green Bay Packer. So that was where Rodgers' career ended, in Green Bay, losing to the Detroit Lions. And that was the game that had a lot of NFL fans, a lot of broadcasters such as myself, podcasters, journalists saying that the Detroit Lions could be one of the X factors coming into the 2023 NFL season. Well, guess what? So far, so good. The Lions have lived up to that. So far, they're 2-1. Jared Goff is looking amazing. The head coach Dan Campbell has done a great job so far with this team. The defense has been solid offensively. They're putting up nice numbers. Jahmyr Gibbs has been good. David Montgomery is expected to be back for this game. Also, the wide receivers with the likes of Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds, just to name a few. But how about the rookie tight end, Sam Laporta? Sam, I mean, we've only been 3 weeks into this season, but Sam Laporta, the rookie, has been making a name for himself as amongst the top tight ends so far in this league. He's got the potential to be up there with the Travis Kelce and the George Kittle. And I tell you one thing, Sam Laporta had a great game against the Atlanta Falcons last week. So this rivalry, Lions and Packers, listen, this goes back since like maybe the 30s or the 40s or something like that. And then as far as Green Bay is concerned, listen, they didn't play their best game last week against the New Orleans Saints, but they took advantage of the opportunities that was given to them. Derek Carr suffered the injury to his throwing shoulder in the game, and offensively, they just never got going. However, they were able to find a chink in the armor of the New Orleans Saints defense, and that's when Jordan Love got it going late in the game, not just with his arm, but also with his athletic ability as well, and Green Bay was able to pull off the come-from-behind win to beat the Saints. So we got the Lions and the Bears. We've got Jordan Love. We've got also a Christian Watson is expected to play in this game, and also Aaron Jones is expected to play as well. As for Detroit, as I mentioned earlier, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, also David Montgomery is expected to see some action in this game, and you've got Sam Laporta. And also on the defensive side with the likes of Aiden Hutchinson, this Lions-Packers game is going to be, I think it's going to be a great one for Thursday night football at Lambeau Field. We have the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Cleveland Browns. These two have been rivals for decades. They represent the AFC North. You know, the AFC North is rough and tough and just blue-collar, no-nonsense. Let's start off with the Baltimore Ravens for a moment. Last week, lost a tough game in overtime to the Indianapolis Colts. Gus Edwards had suffered an injury. We don't know what his status is coming into this game against the Cleveland Browns. But Lamar Jackson, listen, Lamar is going to be Lamar. Lamar is going to get it done some way, somehow, whether by running or throwing the ball. And as far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned, listen, Cleveland had a big win last week. Cleveland came in, handled their business, and had a big win over the Tennessee Titans. Deshaun Watson still trying to find his groove, find his way with this offense. Amari Cooper looked great in this game. So Cleveland, we know what they're trying to bring to the table. Baltimore is coming into enemy territory after a tough loss. And Ravens and Browns, what more can you ask for? And these two cities, if you know your NFL history, you know that Art Modell, the former owner of the Cleveland Browns, in a controversial move back in the early 90s, relocated the team to Baltimore, and that's how they became the Baltimore Ravens. And so there was no NFL football in Cleveland until 1999. And Cleveland, of course, you know the story. They've been through the motions with starting quarterbacks. It's been a laundry list. I won't name them, but you look it up for yourself. But bottom line is this: these two teams, these two fan bases, this rivalry has been real since the late 90s, since Cleveland returned to the NFL. So you've got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, and it's going to come down to the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson going up against Deshaun Watson. The Miami Dolphins will go up against the Buffalo Bills. The Miami Dolphins, listen, this offense has just been electric early in this season. Tua Tagovailoa, so far so good. The training that he's had during the offseason, the jiu-jitsu training to take falls in the event that he's being rushed, if his offensive lineman can't protect him. So far so good. Tua's been protected very well. Tyreek Hill, listen, Tyreek, early MVP candidate. Tyreek, the potential, he says he wants over 2,000 yards receiving. It may happen. It could happen. The running game, I think, is so underrated for the Miami Dolphins. You have Raheem Mostert. You also have Salvin Ahmed. And, of course, you have Devin Achane. That three-headed monster, the running backs have been phenomenal. Defensively, they're playing well with the likes of Xavier Howard, Andrew Van Ginkle. Also, you have Bradley Chubb, just to name a few. So Miami put on a clinic last week, embarrassing the Denver Broncos, putting up 70 points. For the Buffalo Bills, they're starting to get back on their winning ways. They went down to the nation's capital, or actually outside of the nation's capital, in Landover, Maryland, to take on the Washington Commanders. Embarrassed them. Josh Allen had a field day on the Washington defense. Stephon Diggs did his thing. Dawson Knox did his thing as well. I mean, the Buffalo's offense was just cooking down in the outside of the DMV. So we've got an interesting game between Miami and Buffalo, longtime AFC East rivals. Listen, you know about Miami and Buffalo. The history is just intense with the quarterbacks, with Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, just to name a few. And hopefully some memories can be made with this game, with Tua Tagovailoa going up against Josh Allen, the Miami Dolphins, and the Buffalo Bills. The Cincinnati Bengals will square off against the Tennessee Titans. First, for the Titans, they were embarrassed by the Cleveland Browns last week. Derrick Henry couldn't do much. Ryan Tannehill couldn't do much. Tennessee just did not have an answer for Cleveland's offense. For Cincinnati, quarterback Joe Burrow still nursing a calf injury. Cincinnati survived Monday night beating the Los Angeles Rams. Wasn't a pretty victory, but a win is a win, and you take it. So now we've got Cincinnati going to Music City, USA, to take on the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. Cincinnati, listen, Burrow still nursing that calf injury. He was able to get passes off to Jamar Chase, also T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But expect a lot of Joe Mixon in this game. I think they're going to get a lot of Joe Mixon in this contest because Cincinnati, they've got to get their running game going. They were able to get some good runs out of Joe last Monday night, but hopefully they can really kick it into high gear in this game for Tennessee. And we talked about Joe Mixon on the running side, but for Tennessee, Derrick Henry, he's got to get it together. If Tennessee wants to win this game, it begins and ends with Derrick Henry. It's just that simple. When Derrick Henry gets going, Ryan Tannehill and the rest of that offense, they get going as well. So Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Tennessee Titans, it should be a good matchup in Nashville. The Denver Broncos going up against the Chicago Bears, the battle of the winless teams. For the Chicago Bears, man, what a week it has been for them. Before coming into last week's game against Kansas City, Justin Fields had spoke to the media and was just saying that it falls on the coaches. The coaches aren't doing their job. Certain people and personnel are not doing their job. And then he backtracks on those statements that he made. And then on top of that, you had the abrupt resignation of defensive coordinator Mark Williams. And there were reports of equipment that was stolen from the facility at Soldier Field. And just a whole bunch of stuff that happened during this past week with the Chicago Bears. And to make matters worse, they go to Kansas City at Arrowhead. They lose terribly. And, you know, and as far as the Denver Broncos are concerned, listen, they got embarrassed. Just let's call it for what it is. They got embarrassed. The Miami Dolphins put up 70 points. They want to blame Russell Wilson. It's not Russell's fault because Russell doesn't play defense. It's just that simple. He does not play defense. Nevertheless, we have the battle of the winless teams. Both teams are 0-3. They're going to be playing this game at Soldier Field. There's a lot at stake in this game. Sean Payton, all eyes are going to be on him. We know all eyes are going to be on Russell Wilson. All eyes are going to be on Denver's defense. All eyes will be on not just Justin Fields, but the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus, and his future with the team. The Denver Broncos and the Chicago Bears, this is a game that reeks desperate times, calls for desperate measures. The New England Patriots will square off against the Dallas Cowboys. First for Dallas, they were embarrassed last week by the Arizona Cardinals. Dak Prescott had an opportunity in a goal line situation to throw a touchdown pass. He throws it in double coverage. He gets intercepted. Arizona winds up winning the game. For the New England Patriots, listen, we know about the offense, Mac Jones. The Patriots did win 15-10, beating their AFC East rival New York Jets. Hey, Ezekiel Elliott didn't get 100 yards. He got close to it. Mac Jones, the jury's still out on him in terms on the offensive side, but a win is a win, and you take it. Now, if anything's going great for New England right now defensively, New England has an edge coming into this game defensively. Offensively, Dallas has the edge on this. It's just a matter of if Dak can make those plays. Tony Pollard, I'm not concerned about him because Tony's going to get his touches. Tony is going to get his yards running the ball. Offensively, well, specifically the passing game, can Dak really get CeeDee Lamb going? Can he get Michael Gallup going? Can he get Jake Ferguson going? And what about his offensive line? Can his offensive line get their pass protection together? Because if they don't, New England's defense is going to pose a problem. And also, this is going to be a homecoming, so to speak. Ezekiel Elliott returning to AT&T Stadium for the first time since being a member of his new team, the New England Patriots. So I wonder how that's going to play out with him and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, all some of his former teammates all greeting one another. That's going to be interesting right there. And it's going to be an interesting one at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, between the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys. Sunday Night Football, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New York Jets. So no Aaron Rodgers. This game was heavily promoted before the season started. Aaron's done for the year towards Achilles week one. Zach Wilson comes in during this week. Joe Namath comes in and says that Zach's got to go. The Jets have to part ways with him. Again, the jury's still out on Zach Wilson. It's been split down the middle in terms of Zach's future with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, head coach Robert Saleh, they're saying that they're sticking with him. They're standing by Zach. Some players on the defensive side are hanging with Zach, are sticking with Zach. A lot of them are like, he's got to go. So there's already turmoil, and we're only in the fourth week of the NFL season. There's turmoil with the Jets, but a team that's not facing turmoil at the moment is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs put on a clinic beating the Chicago Bears. Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey, the rest of that offense, they're starting to find their groove now. Running back Isaiah Pacheco is a nice X factor for this team. And, you know, this is interesting because with this game right here, the Kansas City Chiefs, specifically Patrick Mahomes, he has never played a game in East Rutherford, New Jersey, just outside of New York City. He's never played a game at MetLife Stadium. This is going to be his first game ever at MetLife Stadium. So this is going to be a big one. Sunday Night Football, the bright lights, the backdrop in New York City, bright lights, big city, in the shadows of the Big Apple in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife Stadium with the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the New York Jets. Monday Night Football, the Seattle Seahawks go up against the New York Giants. First for the Giants, embarrassed last Thursday night in the hands of the San Francisco 49ers. They had no answers for the 49ers offense, and the defense just had Daniel Jones running for his life. Saquon Barkley did not play in this game. Saquon could be ready to go for the Monday night matchup against the Seattle Seahawks. So the Giants, they have their troubles, they have their problems, but the Seattle Seahawks, they were able to get their problems corrected last week, beating the Carolina Panthers. Geno Smith, solid. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, those guys are solid as well. But Kenneth Walker has really made the big difference with that running game. When things don't go right in the passing attack, one thing about Pete Carroll, he'll go to his running back. He had great experience with Marshawn Lynch, and so far he's having experience with Kenneth Walker. So this is going to be a hard-hitting matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. Geno Smith, decent game against Carolina. He's hoping to have a better game against the Giants, hoping to put up better numbers. Kenneth Walker, hopefully looking to pick up where he left off at from last week. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, looks like they're going to pick up right where they left off at and do what they do best and be solid receivers. Meanwhile, the Giants, there's a lot riding on this game. It's Monday night, and they got embarrassed by the 49ers. They do not want to be embarrassed for the second week in a row at the hands of the Seattle Seahawks. So we have our Monday night football game at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, in the shadows of the Big Apple between the Seattle Seahawks and the New York Giants. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Miami Dolphins going up against the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills, I think about those great games back in the day with Dan Marino and Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas, with the Marx brothers, Mark Clayton and Mark Duber. Bruce Smith and Zach Thomas, and just the list goes on and on. And for decades, these two teams have played each other at a very high level. They've been rivals forever in the AFC East. And hopefully some new memories can be made with this game with the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. With Miami, you've got an offense that has been so electric, led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. You've also got Tyreek Hill. You've got Jalen Waddle. You've got the running game with Raheem Mostert and Salvin Ahmed and Devin Achane. You have a solid defense with Miami. And with Buffalo, listen, the last several years, they've been Super Bowl contenders. They've been picked to play in the Super Bowl. And the pressure is on for Buffalo with the likes of quarterback Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Dawson Knox and Gabe Davis. Listen, Buffalo is on a mission this year, but Miami is on a mission as well. And with these two teams coming together, Miami with a 3-0 record, Buffalo with a 2-1 record, and this game, very early in the year, but could determine an AFC East, who could win the AFC East. I know it's very early in the year, but it could come down to this game when Buffalo and Miami play each other again later in the year down in South Florida. But listen, the way Miami's been playing so far this year and the way Buffalo has picked up things as of late, this has the makings of a great game. Miami's offense, can Miami put up big numbers against the Buffalo defense? What about Buffalo's offense? Are they back on track? That remains to be seen, but this is going to be a great game. The Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 4's most important games in the NFL. Thursday night football, the Detroit Lions going up against the Green Bay Packers. I like the Detroit Lions to beat the Green Bay Packers. The Baltimore Ravens going up against the Cleveland Browns. I like Cleveland to win. The Miami Dolphins going up against the Buffalo Bills. I like Miami to win in my game of the week. The Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Tennessee Titans. I like Cincinnati to win. The Denver Broncos will square off against the Chicago Bears. At Soldier Field, I'm going to go for Chicago. I think the Bears will hold on and beat the Broncos. The New England Patriots will go up against the Dallas Cowboys. I think Dak and the crew will bounce back. I like the Cowboys to beat New England. Sunday night football, the Kansas City Chiefs take on the New York Jets. I like Kansas City to win. Monday night football, the Seattle Seahawks go up against the New York Giants. I like Seattle to win. So again, my picks on who I think will win Week 4's most important games are Detroit, Cleveland, Miami, Cincinnati, Chicago, Dallas, Kansas City, and Seattle. And there you have it. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. And I want to thank you to all of the listeners out there for tuning in to this edition of the program. But until next time, everybody, I'm Matt Robinson saying so long, and you take care.